All right, shalom everybody. Welcome to Rashawn Messianic Bible Club. And I was thinking, you know, we don't do too much Hebrew lately in our Messianic Bible Club. We just kind of like, well, we do get into the word a little bit deeper, but I would like to start bringing in some more Hebraic understandings and teachings because I don't want you guys to be lost when I'm talking. Last night, I was talking about Samech and it being 120, and so I said, oh, well, I looked up the letter, it's a value of 60, and I was like, no, you got to write it in full. It was like, you can write the letter? Like, yeah. So I got to teach you guys what a full gematria is versus a single letter gematria is, because the full gematria also has gematrias that are very relevant to truth, and the single gematria, which is just the letter, has relevance to truth, okay? So we're going to have to look into that next week. We're going to have to, what I'll call maybe our Hebrew moment, so we can have a little bit of Hebrew knowledge so we can get into, so you can understand when I'm talking. I mentioned last night, you know, the Vav, the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the actual meaning of the letter Vav is complete salvation. And because it's complete salvation and it connects us to God, the Jews use that letter as and. Okay, so they say, Elohim ve Yeshua HaMashiach, God and Jesus Christ, right? Uh-huh. Or, so they just use that Vav as the connector because they know that that connects us to God. That's the salvation. And I think I've talked about this before. Sometimes in scripture, if somebody's name is spelled and it has a Vav in it and they sin, in the scriptures, God will take the Vav out of it. God will take the Vav out of their name until they repent, you know? Yep. And it's so it's like so many little things in Hebrew that you're reading and you see that you wouldn't see if you're just reading in English. And so we'll have a little Hebrew moment starting next week, and so that we can start understanding some of these concepts that I'm talking about, so we're all on the same page.
Amen.
Since this is our club. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, let's start here. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. Last night was all God, I must say. It was all God. Wasn't any way that I planned it to go, but it was all God. And I just want to thank the Lord for doing that, because I prayed that morning and asked Him, I want to speak what You want me to speak to Your people. I want them to get excited about what we're excited about, because yes. God told me, I want you to be excited about this like it's the last thing in the world. Like, this is how I want you to be about this, you know?
Amen.
And so I have to do what God says. He says, this is the most important message and thing you're doing right now.
Yes.
And it has to consume you, because if it doesn't consume you, you're not going to be able to do this job, okay?
Amen.
So, and it kind of goes back when He told me, you're going to have to be a little bit crazy to complete this job. And so I don't mind. And so I really want to explain this all to you.
The mic's not on.
Let's pray. Okay, but you can hear me still, right?
Yeah, they can hear you. But
let's pray and get into today's Bible study, and we're going to talk about a few things, three things that I think Christians need to know so that they don't ruin themselves and they can keep themselves excited, okay?
Amen.
Until we leave. Okay, so let's just pray. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yikadeshimcha. Tavo Mechuteke Yaserot Sanaka. Be Aret Ke Asherne Asa. Beshamaim. Tenanu Hayom, Lechum Hukeno, Uselaglanu et Ashmetenu, Ke Asher Solechemanaknu, Le Asher Ashmelanu, Vial Tevienu de Demasa, Ke Im Hatzilanu Minhra, Kilaha, Hamamlaha, Vehagivra, Vehatif Eret, Leolame, Leolamim, Amen. Beshem Yeshua Hamashir, Kanaknu Tefilim, Bonalech, let's go. All right.
How do you say how you doing in Chinese?
Ooh, you told me last night. I listened to it this morning. Michal or something like that.
Michal.
I don't know. We jacking up y'all language. Yeah, so if you're in Hong Kong and we just jacked it up, they like
well.
Say, Lord, forgive them. They did their best.
Amen.
Two little African American trying to speak Chinese.
Pastor said they moved the doomsday clock up. It's 100 seconds before doomsday, according to the doomsday clock.
What doomsday?
You don't know about the doomsday clock?
I don't know nothing about the doomsday clock. I just know about the 120 years. I stay on God's clock. People be inventing clocks. Y'all inventing clocks. I'm going to stay on God's clock. Ain't nothing happening until God say it.
Amen.
You know, they told me one time in my job, you know, you won't last another month here. We're thinking about letting you go. And I said, well, let's see what God says.
Amen.
And everybody got fired but me. Even the bosses that told me I was getting fired got fired. They brought in a new owner and a new everything. And I'm like, okay, well, ain't nothing going to happen until God says. So I'm still here 2 years later and you guys are gone. So
see, that's
there funny. Goes your clock.
There you go.
Let's stay on God's clock. The doomsday clock. Anything to try and scare God's people, huh? Because we got to stay focused on getting people saved, praying for people, being about war, because we're in a war. We got to be concerned about that.
Yes.
How about last night's Bible study? I want to talk about one thing in particular, and that's the thing about Methuselah, right? And I thought this was, me and Drea were talking about it this morning, and I thought this was very interesting that God has Methuselah at an age 187 give birth to his son Lamech. But that's 187 years. And so Methuselah is now 187. And then he has Lamech wait until 182 years, right? Before he has Noah, okay? So when you combine their two ages, this is how old Methuselah is now, right? And so that's 369. And so now Noah is going to be 600 years old when the flood starts. So therefore, if Methuselah's name means his death will bring, that means from this point of Noah's life, from this point, this 369 years, that means he knows that he's going to live 600 more years.
Right.
Okay? Or God knows he's going to live 600 more years. He lives 600 more years. And then Genesis says it was Noah was 600 years when they entered the ark. And so his name was completely fulfilled in prophecy. When he died, it came. Okay?
Wow.
When he died, it came. And of course, we talked about Lamech dying at 777 and 5 years before. I would like to show you guys why I know that it's 5 years. I tried to do the 7 years and I was like, this math ain't working out. And then I said, the Lord's like, okay, well, how many years is it? Oh, it's five. Okay. He died 5 years before. And God said, well, that makes more sense because now we're talking about grace. It's the number for grace is five. And then now we're talking about the Ruach, or the Spirit of God, because hey, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit is Jesus. After Dalit left, who came? Hey, the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
So the fifth letter is the Spirit of God, okay? And it's that letter that God put into Abraham's name, right? You know this, Pastor Ben. He put the hey in Abraham's name because Abraham believed the gospel and God accredited him righteousness. Now, the Spirit of God wasn't being given out at that time. But what God did symbolically was put the hey in front of Abram's name, making him Abraham and giving him a hey. And he told the gospel to his wife, and she's no longer Sarah. She's now Sarah. And now, because she has the Spirit. So when you believe the gospel, what do you get? The Spirit of God. So it's the fifth letter. So him dying 5 years was saying, my Spirit is going to be removed, right? And this is the end of grace. So,
man.
Wow. So I was just like, okay, Lord, this Methuselah, you are just perfect in your numbers. You're perfect in your prophecy. Everything has detail. And that's what God wanted me to get out to you yesterday. Everything has detail, and it all has to do with his plan of our rapture. So I had to go back and look at 2016 and say, okay, in September of 2016, it was no longer 5776, it became 5777. So then you go in the fifth year, after Lamech dies, you go 5 years, then the flood, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, to the flood, right? So it's like, I'm showing you details, Sandy, so that you can get people excited, because I know you're excited.
Yes.
We didn't even look at last night one of my most exciting portions of 120, and that's when you write out 120 in Hebrew. It's mi'ad ve'esrim, which means 120. But the and, what's the and? Vav. What's vav mean? Salvation. So when I took out the vav, the numerical value of 120 without the vav is 666.
No way.
Pastor Ben, you know that. So when you take out the vav from 120, the vav from 120, you get 666.
Yes.
So salvation removed in 120 brings the judgment. Everything is about this. I'm in a house like this. We going home. And nobody. And God wants me, like, you've got to, I know you're excited because you know all this, right? Uh-huh. But you've got to express this to the people so that they get excited, because now is the time.
Yes.
If I'm saying, look, this is the end of this ministry. This is what I called you to do, okay? You've been through all type of education concerning the rapture, concerning the Hebrew. And I've shown you a lot. This is the end of this mission. But you're right here, you need to get excited, and you need to let people know they need to be excited. And they need to. Now, there's three things in scripture that I need to express to you that God wants you to know so that you don't fall away from his salvation.
Amen.
Okay? The first thing you need to know is, what is the difference between Zionist and a Jew? What is the difference? Because now I'm going to show you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Because this is the whole big old. This is one of the lies that's going out into the world. I hate to get on TV, see on TV a Christian going, us Christians need to stop following these Jews. They're just hooking us into their control of the world, and they own everything, and the Jewish conspiracy and the Zionism. And they're like, I'm like, okay, so you're getting to the point where now you hate Jews because the world is teaching you that the Jews are the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you have to learn, are Zionists and Judaism, is it the same thing? No, it is not. Do you know, what was that vice president, the one that's always touching on all the kids? Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden said in an interview, I'm a Zionist. It's like, and he's right, he is a Zionist, you know, because Zionists and Judaism is two different things. A Zionist hates Jews, basically, in undergirding, they're Satanists that hate Jews. A Jewish person is the people that went through the suffering, that disobeyed God, went through the suffering, went through all of the prophecies fulfilled, and came back into the land. That's Judaism, okay? Zionism is this false Judaism that says, I'm a Jew, okay? And they control finances, and they control banks, and they control all of these things in the world.
The Rothschilds,
all of these people are Zionists, okay? They wanted Israel back after they saw they couldn't kill them all, right?
Okay.
They said, okay, we couldn't do it. So let's bring Israel back and rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. And because that's where eternal life lies, inside of the temple. So if we can now get the temple rebuilt, we can still get eternal life from our glorious...
From the author of lies.
Yeah, from the author of lies who promised us eternal life. Because they're following a leader, and that's Satan, okay? Mm-hmm. And you, as a born-again believer, need to know the difference between a Zionist and a Jewish person. You should love the Jewish nation. Yes. You should love the Jewish people, okay? Mm-hmm. You should despise false Judaism.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say Zionist because... Really, our hope is in the perfect city of Zion, which is Israel's rebirth and everything. So I'm going to read this. Are you in Revelation chapter 3?
What verse, Pastor?
And I think we're in verse 9. That's where I think it is. Okay. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. You hear that? Uh-huh. So God said, there's a whole group of people in the world. They're not Jews. They claim to be Jews, but are not. They're liars. Mm-hmm. He says they're even a synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
So he's saying they're worshipers of Satan, but they're claiming to be Jews, and they live in our world. It's the we have a CIA, and Israel has a CIA called the Mossad, right? Those are Zionists. They don't love Jews. They hate Jews. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you have to understand. Even Derek Bernard, the guy who worked for the Beast Bank, and he said... You know, when he was on his deathbed, he said, I was reading the Bible and I'm looking, all these prophecies are coming true in the Bible. He's starting to find God. This little kid came to him and witnessed to him while he's on his deathbed, right? This is how he started to say, I got to get out of this Beast Bank, and I can't, because they wanted him to sacrifice a child. We know that.
Yes.
And he said he couldn't do it. So they started taking all of his money.
Right.
He said he couldn't understand why these people were saying they're Jews, but they're trying to kill all the Jews. Mm-hmm. And he said, but they're saying they're Jews. They own all the banks and they own all the money. And he says, but it seems like they're plotting to kill the Jews. And he says, that's something I can't click in my brain.
Right.
Okay. The reason is because of this scripture right here. These are people who claim they're Jews, but they are not. Amen. They are a synagogue of Satan. Okay. If you get to the point where you start hating the Jews because you seeing the propaganda that the Jews are taking over the world and don't follow Trump. Trump is just helping the Zionists. No, that's not what Trump's doing. When Trump said Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, mm-hmm. the Zionists were happy because now maybe they can rebuild the temple.
Right.
But God is using Trump, and please don't get this confused. I have absolutely zero hope in Trump.
Right.
All my hope is in Jesus.
Yes.
I like pro-life. I like arresting pedophiles. I love, you know, all of these things I love, okay? But I don't put no hope in them.
Right.
Okay. My hope's in Jesus. And your hope should be in Jesus. Will I vote for him for the things that he's doing compared to Hillary? Heck yeah, I'm voting for him. But I'm not voting for him because I believe that Obama's going to make America great again. Because America is part of the three that make up Babylon, right?
Right.
And so you got London City, you got the Vatican, and you got the United States. You got the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. So you got these three that are representing the coming of this new Babylon, okay? Don't get it twisted. Revelation 17 and 18 is talking about the Vatican.
Yes.
That's not talking about the complete three of them, because if you'll see, three get thrown into the lake of fire before, okay?
Right.
Before Satan actually himself. So understand this, that Mystery Babylon is a triad, because they're trying to emulate uh-huh. the Trinity. Okay.
Yes.
So
Pastor, I got one for you.
Yes.
Our friend, one of the believers, are tuned in, sitting next to his roommate who's gambling online. He said, can you say, Brian? Hey, Brian, pay attention.
I think you just said it, Pastor Ben.
Stop gambling online.
Gambling, hey. There's something that Satan knows that you don't know about gambling. Gambling triggers senses in your brain that causes you to live off of that endorphin.
What?
That's why you have Gamblers Anonymous. There's no drugs, no alcohol involved, but yet you'll sit at a table and gamble till you lose everything you have. What is it that makes you do that? The endorphin in your brain that gets a high off of this,
really?
Off of gambling. Gambling is not from God.
No.
People think, God created Vegas. No, he didn't.
God created Vegas.
Satan created Vegas, okay? A lot of people lock their homes sitting at tables in Vegas, okay? So I don't play with that game because I know how the brain works, okay?
Amen.
Now, so I want you to understand, that's the first thing I want you to understand, is that do not get to the point where you hate Jews, because the true Jews are the people who fulfilled prophecy. The true Jews are the people that came back in 1948. Mm-hmm. The true Jews are the ones that won the Six-Day War in 1967, okay? There are true Jews that live in Israel that went through the Holocaust. Some of them survived it. These are true Jews who just love their nation and their people, okay? The Mossad and all of these bankers are not true Jews. They're actually Satanists because they participate even now in child sacrifices, okay? This Disney guy who just wrote a book, they say, I'm Jewish. Nah, you're not Jewish. You're Zionist, okay? You're into some weird stuff that true Jews wouldn't be involved in, okay? So as a Christian, learn the difference so you don't toss the Jews in with the Zionists, because the Zionists are going to get judged, and hell is what they're looking forward to.
Oh, amen.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. That was the first thing. The second thing the Lord wants me to ask you is, do you believe that God is going to do this? And I'm going to read it for you. Because if you don't believe this, you don't have any reason to worry, and I can't really help you, okay? I want to compliment Blue Heaven. I don't really, I don't know if I know her, if we've communicated or not. I don't know what her real name is, but she has a YouTube channel. She gives some very practical understanding about the rapture, okay? We're supposed to be watching for the rapture.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and I get this logic from her as I was listening to her. Do you tell somebody, hey, your mother's going to be here at exactly 10 o'clock. Go out and watch for her to make sure she's coming. Like, why do I have to go out and watch? We already know what time she's coming.
She'll be here too.
Right. God tells us to watch because you don't know the day or the time or the hour. Right.
Right.
He's not telling you to watch because you know the day, the time, and hour. So please stop saying nobody knows the day or the time. Nobody knows the day or the time, because God already knows that. You're just repeating stupidity. God, nobody knows the day or the hour. Exactly. That's why we're watching. Okay. Amen. That's exactly why we're watching. And for her to say that, I was like, duh. That's why we're watching, because we don't know. So please stop saying nobody knows the day or the hour. Exactly. That's why we're watching. That's why God said to watch. If you knew, you wouldn't have to watch. So don't say it's a sin for us to watch for the rapture and to keep looking for signs. And you guys are you're getting people hyped on the rapture. And why don't you just live for Jesus and be complacent like us and get out of here?
Be left behind.
Right. Exactly. That's getting into my third question. Okay. So now, In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay? Now watch this. Because God wants to know, do you believe this, okay?
Chapter 4?
Yeah, chapter 4, verse 13.
brother or brethren, Christians, basically he's talking to, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Okay? So he's like, don't worry about people who already died in Christ. Jesus is going to bring them with him. Okay? It says, according to the Lord's own words, so Jesus told him this, according to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Who's getting their resurrected bodies first? The dead in Christ.
Yes.
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. Okay? Is this the second coming? No. Zechariah says he steps his foot on the mountain and a great valley is formed. Okay? So this is not the second coming. That's why they love to do movies about the end of the world and disaster, because that has nothing to do with truth.
Right.
You can't have an end of the world movie unless a rapture is already taken place, okay? So, the thing the Lord wants, the question that the Lord wants to ask you is this. Is this true? Meaning, after we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Is that true or is that a lie?
God's word is true.
Amen. As a matter of fact, the scripture says it's impossible for God to lie. So as a Christian, this is what the Lord says. Unless he's lying or you believe he's lying, you're not going to watch for this day.
Right.
So now either you're saying, I don't believe that day is going to happen, or you're saying, I don't believe that day is going to happen in my life, so I don't want to watch for it. But God commanded you.
Yes.
This wasn't a request. I should go back and find the scripture to see if Jesus says, now, this is only a request. And I'm just saying,
yeah, I'd like to see that.
If it doesn't bother you too much or get you too excited about my coming, watch and pray.
If it don't bother you too
much. Yeah, because some Christians are like, I don't want to watch because it stresses me out. It's not supposed to stress you out. It's supposed to give you hope.
That's right.
Colossians 3 says what? Fix your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Okay? Fix your mind. You're complacent because you won't watch and you won't fix your mind on things above.
Amen.
God wants you to be heavenly minded.
Yeah.
You got to always realize I'm an ambassador here. I don't live here. I'm leaving. And God says, if you believe that God is lying concerning the disappearance, then you don't believe the scripture. Because therefore, you can live any kind of way you want because you don't believe there's ever going to come a day where the rapture is going to happen and people who are living for God are going to disappear. You don't believe that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So then if you don't believe that scripture, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Because you also don't believe this.
What verse?
Matthew 24, I think it is verse 32. That was one of the great things that I had in my studies was this whole thing about this disappearing being a separate issue from the second coming. Okay? Now watch this, Matthew 24.
Verse.
I believe 32. 24:36.
Pastor, can a Christian join the military?
Yes. You can join the military.
You might have to kill some people.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot of people that fought in wars in the Bible, yes. Okay? And I don't know how God considers, and I'm not God, but I know war, that people die during wars. Mm-hmm. I don't know if fighting a war and murder are the same thing.
I don't think it is.
Because a person plotting to murder somebody because they just hate them as a person is some completely different, okay? Now, I believe it still has the same effect. You know, if you, I don't believe then, I'm religious, so I can't serve my country as a military officer. No, you see a lot of military officers praising Jesus. They had a whole service.
Yeah.
And man, those guys can sing. They can woo-ah, and they would sing. And they're soldiers, but they love Jesus. You have many people in Israel who are devout religion to their country, but still want to serve in the war.
That's right.
The community sometimes won't allow them, but many of them want to serve. Okay, you want to serve your country and protect your country. Mm-hmm. Okay, and
they're shooting at you.
And there's a war going on right now, and even our Lord and Savior is a warrior.
Captain of the Lord's army.
He's captain of the Lord's army. He's coming back. And even in the scripture, we read a couple of, he said, when he comes back, bodies will lie all over the world. Okay? So understand the difference between war and plotting someone's murder because of you're an evil person.
Amen.
Okay?
And what's your president? Trump just invited the president of Israel to Washington so they can reveal the peace plan.
Hallelujah. Now, okay, if I could add a fourth to this, I would say this. Listen to this. A peace plan is not a confirmation.
Right.
Okay?
You just spoke about that a week ago.
Right. It's not a confirmation. The person that comes in and says, I am confirming this covenant. Confirming it means I'm giving strength to it. I'm putting it in place, right? It's going to start happening now.
Yes.
Now, watch what happens with this peace plan, because I'm telling you what's going to happen. Netanyahu won't negotiate Jerusalem. And Trump won't negotiate Jerusalem. So it doesn't matter when they present it to the Palestinians will not accept it unless you can divide Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
But there is coming someone who's going to present a peace plan that also includes the dividing of Israel, and they won't have a choice.
Right.
It's with strength he's enforcing it.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
So understand, but a peace plan has to be already in place.
Yes.
When he comes.
Yes.
Because he doesn't draw up one. He just strengthens one and confirms it. So that's good news.
That's a good thing.
Okay, let me ask you if you believe this. Okay. It says no one knows the day or the hour. We know that. That's why we're watching. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? For in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up till the day the Lord Noah entered the ark. So there was not a third war going on. There was not 3 days of darkness. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, hanging out at the mall, dropping the kids off at school. They were going about daily life, okay?
Amen.
Up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing. And what was the day Noah entered the ark? The 120th year.
Yes.
And they knew nothing. You're in the 120th year, the Lord says.
Yes.
And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That took its violence.
Yes.
That is how it will be. Okay, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Now, the person that's taken is being perilambano, taken as a friend or a companion. The other one, lithame, I think the word is, will be divorced from God.
Mm-hmm.
Both people know God.
Yeah.
Like the 10 virgins, they're all waiting on the bridegroom. Problem, what's the problem? Five aren't ready and five are ready. God is telling you about a future time where half of the people will be ready, half of them won't. And so now you have to ask yourself, do I want to be part of the people that's ready? Well, if you're not watching, are you going to be ready? If you're not watching, are you going to be complacent? I commend anyone who says, you know what, I don't watch for the rapture. When it happens, it happens. But man, I love the Lord. I'm going to witness and I'm going to live in obedience. Mm-hmm. God bless you. I'll see you at the cloud party. Yeah. Okay? My calling is to watch. Jesus' commandment was to watch.
He said, watch and pray.
Watch and pray. So I'm going to watch. And all Christians should be watching. If you're not watching, you want to live completely for God because it stresses you out. It doesn't stress me out. It gives me joy. Or else I wouldn't be able to do it since 1904. I mean, since 2004, right? Since 2004, we started the church. Yeah. We've been talking, hey, we got to prepare people to leave, okay? Yeah. So God wants you to watch. Now listen to this.
Pastor Sandy, yes. Helen's, she said, what groom wants a bride who doesn't care when he arrives?
Christians. Because some of us care, but some of us are like, oh, Lord, come. And especially, he says, as you see the day approaching, right? So we see the day approaching. You see, peace plan. We got a peace plan we're about to draw up in 120th year.
I didn't even catch that.
Come on. Oh, so now Christians should be like watching like this.
Right.
We should be more alert than ever.
Right.
Still there's some of us that are like, well, I'm going out this week. I'm going to have some shots with my friends because it's his birthday. Well, what about church on Sunday? Well, you know, I'm not going to drink much. Just have a couple of shots with them to celebrate, you know. Yeah. So we're living this like duality, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, don't think that it's going to work. I said to God, he sent me a question about drinking. And I sent him all the scriptures in the Bible that talk about drinking. You know, God has zero good to say about drinking. I mean, other than drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, right? Yeah. And be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But all of the scriptures talk about strong drink, overindulgence in alcohol. God completely forbids it throughout all scriptures. So that means God knows something about alcohol.
Yes.
And Satan knows something about alcohol. Right. So why would Satan make alcohol completely legal? Remember, it used to be, what was that time? Your prohibition. It was like you couldn't do it. That people had a little common sense then. But now, you can make vodka. Or you can have a $1 billion company for making vodka.
They do.
And now they're saying, oh, the other thing that opens the pineal gland is marijuana, the ingredients that are in marijuana. So let's make marijuana legal also. But the only reason they didn't make it legal before, because they couldn't figure out a way to tax it. But now that they can tax it, they're like, okay, let's make this legal, get more demonic stuff coming into the world. So I want my question to you that God wants to ask, the disappearance and the rapture. Do you believe that God is going to cause a vast amount of people called one body of Christ disappear from the earth?
Of course.
OK. Here, I'm going to go to Isaiah 57 right now.
Isaiah 57?
Yes. I wish the English would just write the Hebrew the way it was supposed to write it and not make up words when they can't figure it out.
Well, that'd be too much like right, Pastor.
Yeah, because this word says in Isaiah 57, the righteous disappear. In Hebrew, it says the righteous avad. That's disappear. Verse 1, 57 verse 1, the righteous disappear, and no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are asaf. Collected, taken away. And no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil.
Pastor Sandy, in the contemporary version, it says God's faithful people are dragged off. In the good news, it says God people die.
Right. So it says dragged off. You know what dragged off means? Taken by force. That's rapture. Okay? So the righteous people are taken away. They're pulled out. You're dragged out of here, okay?
Wow.
So some of them are trying to get, see, they're trying to make common sense out of this word disappear, which is avad. So they're trying to make common sense. But God says, okay, let's say you believe in the disappearance. Do you believe the other part, that they're leaving to spare them from evil?
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming upon the earth when the disappearance happens? Because if you don't believe that the world's going to get evil after the disappearance, then you can live a lukewarm lifestyle. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't believe this. I don't even know if you believe that people are going to disappear. But do you believe after they disappear, okay, that the world's going to get evil? Because
yeah.
It says here, the righteous disappear. They don't understand that the righteous have disappeared to spare them from evil.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
So God is doing this to spare the righteous from the evil that's about to come on the world.
Amen.
And here we are in the 120th year.
Peace plan about to be revealed.
Peace plan about to be revealed.
That's crazy.
We got all kinds of war stuff going on. Nephilim are in the land. We need to have a real long talk about that. Because we need to be careful with our children.
Yes.
Careful with who we allow them to babysit our kids. You know, forget the resume. I want to know where you live, who's your parents, do you know Jesus? You know, I really want to know some things. I would rather have somebody that really knows me and knows my kids before I just let some stranger watch my kids. Who was it last week that Mother Brenda said that the lady let her kid go with the guy
that she had met at school?
Yeah, that she had met at a 6-year-old child. And the guy beat him to death. And I'm like, oh, you don't know if that guy was actually really human, because no true human can do that.
That's right.
Okay. But that's everything. So we have to be careful with our children, watching over them, keeping them. I have proof that the children who were rescued from the tunnel actually happened. I have footage, which I'm not going to show to Pastor Ben, of them entering the tunnel to grab to rescue the children and activity that was going on.
Did they see a Nephilim down there?
There were quite a few down there. They killed them. They blew, and then after they took the kids out, they blew up the whole place. That's why we had
an earthquake.
That was a little earthquake we had in California, because they were blowing up that tunnel after they rescued the kids. But they don't tell you that, because CNN would definitely lie. It's like most of us here are pedophiles at CNN, so we're not gonna actually put that on screen, okay?
Robert Matos says, aren't we still in 119th year till Nisan 1?
Yes, we are. We are. Thank you for acknowledging that. And I'm trying to tell people that as well, that 2020 begins Nisan 1, okay? But that's all perfect because, you know, Nisan's, a month or two away? Yeah, it's all perfect. It's in the spring, you know. Spring wedding, Pentecost wedding.
I love it.
It's all perfect. So don't worry about that, you know, because, you know, if you tell people we're actually in the 119th year, now you got to explain to them the difference between a Hebrew calendar and a Gregorian calendar. And then, so if they say it's, you know, 2020, let's just say it's 2020 until Nisan first.
Yeah.
But we know that on Nisan first, God will say, now we're in the 120th year.
Lori Price said till March 26th.
Yes, March 26th. Hallelujah. So, because in the 20th year, the flood came. Hallelujah. And Methuselah got sick and like, I got a cold. I'm still not feeling good. It's the 600th year. And Methuselah died. And God's like, I told you when Methuselah means when he dies, it shall come. Okay.
15 minutes back.
Now, this is a question. Will every person who says I'm a Christian be raptured?
Say it.
That's the question. Okay, our first question was, a first thing that you need to know was you need to know the difference between Zionism and Judaism. The second thing you need to know, the question is, do you believe in the disappearance of Christians, like Enoch disappearing before the flood and going, and it only being one person disappearing to show you that the body of Christ is one? Do you know God doesn't consider that he's rapturing a whole bunch of people? He considers himself rapturing one body. Yeah. And that's what Enoch represents, the one body that leaves before the trouble. Okay? So if you don't believe in a disappearance, Enoch did disappear, okay? And if you don't believe in the disappearance, do you believe that when it happens, some evil is coming upon the world? Because I have to understand why Christians aren't preparing and watching for this day. And it's probably because they don't believe some of these things. Right. They don't really believe. Nobody, they've never seen nobody disappear right in front of them before. Right. Is it even possible? God said it is possible. He's done it before and he's going to do it again. Okay?
I think Israel will come back on that.
Enoch will tell you, I was there, I was walking, then boom, I was in heavens, okay? So, I'm just saying, if you don't believe it. Now, will every person who says, I am a Christian, go in the rapture? Will that happen? What type of people don't get raptured?
Lukewarm.
That's right.
Cold.
Complacent. Would you say complacent is lukewarm?
I would.
Okay. Lukewarm. What about people who say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't read my Bible. I don't spend time in prayer. I don't go to church. But I did give my life to Christ. About four. Okay, so what I'm saying is that the portion of you having oil in your lamp is very important.
Yes.
How do you replenish your body with oil? Because you're a temple and you've got to keep that temple lit. The only way to keep the temple lit is to have oil in the lamp. And if you have no oil in your lamp, is your light gone out? Do people even know you're a Christian?
Right.
Okay. So the thing is that the scripture is saying if you are lukewarm, you can be assured of the fact that you will say, hey, open the door for us. We went out to go buy oil. It was too late. And God's saying there's a group of people that will not enter. OK, having your garment with you. OK, what is the garment? OK, Luke says, let's look at this scripture in Luke. I think it's the very last chapter of the book of Luke. Very last chapter of the book of Luke. Yeah, I'm going to.
Chapter
24. And let's see if this says this here. So I'm going to be clothed. Is that 24? Yep, that's 24. Yes, it says, here he is. He's in the 49. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So God considers the Holy Spirit that you're about to receive when you accept Christ being clothed with power from on high. The scripture says you have the ability to take off that garment.
Yes.
And so Revelation says, when I come, make sure that you have your garment with you. You understand? Because you do not want to be found naked and unashamed. Okay. I mean, and ashamed. So God is considering the Holy Spirit part of the garment you're supposed to have with you when he comes. Persistence in sin. What causes the Holy Spirit to be taking you? Oh, Father, please do not take your spirit away from me. What would cause someone to pray this? And how does this happen? How will he take your spirit away from you? I'm persistent in my sin.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, repent. No, I am persistent in my sin. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the person that plugs your ears when the Holy Spirit is saying to repent. The guy who asked me about drinking, I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to him about alcohol consumption and how he feels about it, okay? And maybe just trying to keep him out of danger, okay?
Yes.
So understand that God wants you to keep your garment with you. It is the garment that you must have on.
Yes.
When you enter into the wedding feast, you have to have this garment with you, or else they're going to say, hey, there's a guy here who doesn't have his wedding clothes. And they'll say what? Bind him up and throw him into outer darkness. Why? Well, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? Yes. Okay. So God is saying what? Well, every person who says, I'm a Christian going to the rapture, the answer is no. Not every person. There are some people that are fighting with their whole heart to live for God.
Yes.
And then there are people who are depending on God's mercy. Okay?
Amen.
Because look, this is grace. This is grace. This is grace. Grace is like, let's practically use grace in its proper contents. Okay? You are supposed to finish this job on Friday. I'm going to grace you 3 more days to get it done.
Yeah.
That's grace. Grace is the time to get it right. Grace is not, oh, it's a free card to sin. That's not what grace is. Grace is the time to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what grace is. So you're saved by grace. How is this? You believe in God. The Holy Spirit has come inside of you. Mm-hmm. Now God says, you've been saved by grace. You get this freely, and plus you get time to get it right. Okay? So now in our time to get it right, we're like working this out with fear and trembling. We're staying in our word. We're loving the Lord. We're not trying to mingle with the world and with Christianity. We're doing, you know, we're being Christians. Okay? Yeah. Does this scripture exist? Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. That scripture exists, okay? So there's a lot of saying it and living it and being it are two different things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I think that's about all I have today, Pastor Ben.
Good,
you can read Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins, and you'll see 5 of them don't go, okay? You can read Matthew chapter 22, and you can see if you don't have your garment with you, they don't let you stay into the wedding feast, okay?
Yep.
So, the 120th year is here. And we are pretty much almost out of here.
Yeah.
And
this is exciting.
and I am trying to get you as excited as I am.
Amen.
Because I'm dancing, okay? And I want you to be prepared and ready to go, okay? I have to call my friend when I get home because, you know, how young ladies are when they get older, Pastor Ben.
Yeah.
Where the boys? Cute boys. Where the cute boys? So I got to call my friend and make sure she's okay. But we got to make sure that we stay on focus and in line with God. Praise God.
Amen.
So let's pray out.
Excellent message.
Next week, we're going to start having a Hebrew Moments, okay? So I could teach you a little bit more understanding of the Hebrew and how God wants you to read the Bible, because I believe God wants you to have Hebrew understanding when you're reading Scripture.
Pastor, somebody's asking about John 17:15.
What does John 17:15 say? Well, let's see. I got John 7:15 right here.
I got one right here, too.
What does yours say, Pastor Ben?
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Exactly. For who was he talking about? Don't take things out of content.
Right.
Because if you take that out of content, you'll say, okay, God says that he's not taking. So that means there's no disappearance.
Right.
That means there's no rapture. See, I found it right here. And now you start a whole religion. God is leaving us here. He's not going to take us. No, he was talking to the apostles and he knew that he was leaving.
Right.
But he says, my prayer is not that you take them out, but that you do what? What does the scripture say? Pastor Ben? That you protect them from the evil one. Why? Because they have a job to do. What's their job? To preach the gospel to the whole world.
Yeah.
Okay? So if God just says, okay, Jesus, you're coming back to heaven now, and your 12 apostles and those who believe in Christ, let's take all Christians out of the world right now. For 2,000 years, who gets saved? Zero. So don't take that out of context. He's talking about that in a specific way, okay? Because then if you put this and we start a religion about this, then you have to say that the rapture doesn't exist. You don't have to take people. God's not taking anybody out of the world. He wants us all to stay here and go
That's
through
way
the trouble.
Out of context. That's
and then you take Isaiah 57 out because he says, though God has removed the righteous to spare them from trouble. You got to take that out because he's not going to remove us to spare us from trouble. Hmm. And then, you know, so that's what I'm saying.
Amen.
There is a place for theology to come into place to say, don't take a scripture. Because you remember, the scripture says precept upon precept, line upon line.
Yes.
You can't grab one scripture and make a religion out of it.
Right.
When there are three witnesses to that scripture that tells you that's impossible for that to be true.
Amen.
That's what they call, what's that? This practical theology,
right.
Okay?
Sparta 23, are you familiar with that?
No.
Huh?
Sparta 23? No.
The case was dismissed.
What's Sparta 23?
I don't know. They said that Pastor Sandy, the case was dismissed.
Hallelujah.
The case against me.
Oh, okay.
Was dismissed.
Oh, praise God. I hope that's my friend. Mm-hmm. All right, praise God.
One more thing, Pastor, before
yeah.
you go. Pastor Dennis, please ask why some people say that the 10 virgins is for the Jewish people in the tribe.
Because they're crazy.
Nah.
No, I'm just like, I have no idea, because the Jews are not waiting on the bridegroom to come.
They are not.
Go talk to a Jew about the rapture and the wedding feast.
Hmm.
They will tell you they are not looking for, they think the Mashiach is going to return and establish Israel as the governing source of the world. And there's no such thing as a 7-year tribulation. There's no such. So the answer to your question is, absolutely. What's the question again, Pastor Ben?
They want to know. Okay, hold on. I can tell you. Don't go. Okay, 10 virgins.
Right. So the answer to your question is, the Jews do not believe that the 10 virgins. First of all, it's a New Testament.
Right.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And it's after Jesus has already died. Resurrected, I mean, and going back into heaven, has already told us about a coming time of people disappearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 10 virgins is not a story. If you read Matthew chapter 22, the wedding feast is not about the Jews, because it says he offered them to come to the wedding feast, but they would not. So God said to them, what? Go out into all the world,
anybody.
Preach the gospel, and he says so that my wedding feast will be filled. And they went out and they found everybody who they choose, good and bad,
yep.
And they came into the wedding feast. The Jews are not waiting for a wedding feast. The Christian, the bride of Christ, is waiting for the wedding feast. So the 10 virgins have nothing to do with the Jews, and all 10 of them know that the Messiah is coming. So half of them are not Christians, and the other half are Christians. They're all waiting on the Messiah, okay?
Amen.
So the scriptures is explaining itself to us so that we'll understand what we're waiting for, okay?
Man.
Hallelujah. I like taking questions. Never be afraid of asking me a question. One of the brothers asked me a question, and I had to go, I'll get back to you. Even if I got to get back to you, mm-hmm. I'll go study it out and get back to you.
Amen.
Okay. So let's pray out.
All right.
Someone said they liked my singing, so I'm going to say, Yivarekaka Adonai Yishmareka. Yair Adonai Panadeleka Vehuneka. Ye ase Panadeleka Veyasim Lakashalom. Veyasim Lakashalom. And God said to Moses, when you address my people, tell them this. Tell them the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and upon you and give you shalom, peace. So I just want to say shalom to everybody. Lidrok b'chavua haba. Stay in your word. Find somebody. If they don't know Christ, just ask them, hey, are you saved? And see where the conversation goes. You might get a soul. Throw your line out there. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.